Good morning. We welcome you to our service this morning. It's grateful to have you with us, and it's good to welcome the Gardeners back with us from their six-month, five-month sojourn up to Wisconsin. It's good to have you back, Dee and Dave, and you sort of make up for all the other members that are traveling today, so it's a good to have you here this morning, and we're just grateful that all of you are here this morning. Let me look at the bulletin to look at a couple announcements that are in the bulletin, and then a couple that are not in the bulletin that I wanted to give special attention to. Today is annual Laity Sunday. We have a Sunday with churches ecumenically. They recognize the laity. If you don't know what that word means, in a church, they're clergy and laity. Clergy are the ordained people. Clergy are the reverends. We have five reverends, I think, here that are ordained in our congregation, which is different than pastor. We have one pastor in our congregation, which is a clergy who is serving a local congregation, and all the rest are laity. And unfortunately, in the history of the church, we sometimes reversed it where we think the clergy are the important people. But the truth of the matter, as George Bailey expressed so powerfully in that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, to George, to Potter, is that the laity are the working men and women, the backbone, the strength, and the congregation. All of you are the ministers, and we recognize here one of those individuals. I hope they're going to be here. One of those individuals that involved in the community and in our congregation for service. Also, I wanted to let you know, if you went to the Roost last week, at Wendy Roost, the stew, $600 was raised and given to Parkview in memory of Barbara Kurt. So we're grateful for that. Also, one that's not in here, for no other reason than I did the bulletin late last night after traveling home and I forgot to put it in there, is the first Sunday of November we will be having our All Saints Day, where we recognize those that have passed this year. If you would like to include someone, please let me know that person's name and the date that they died, entered the Church of Glory, and I will include that, and that will be that first Sunday of November. And then the following and last announcement that I have is the one that's on your bulletin, but I want Webb to highlight it, about the Christmas boxes. So, Webb, what would you like to share?
Just real quick, I just want to say thank you for everybody collecting everything you collected this year. We've got a lot of stuff. I don't know if we're going to hit 30 boxes, but I know the first year I think we did 30, and then 35, and last year we did 50. So even if we do 267, it's just amazing. And to hear some of the stories that some of these grown-ups that were once kids talk about how much that box meant to them. And the most important thing, honestly, is not what's in the boxes. It's spreading the word of Jesus Christ. So I want to say thank you. We're going to have a little shoe box packing party November 5th immediately after church. If you can, I'd like everybody, as many as you can, maybe bring some finger food or something to the PD people. And I think I saw the bulletin. This wasn't my idea, but I thought it was a great idea. We're going to have some Christmas music playing. But there's, I got to get another 100, but there's 200 boxes out there. And if everyone could maybe take 5 or 6 home, put them together, we have to pack them, obviously, the stuff's not here yet to pack them, but just put them together, because I didn't want me and my wife to have to figure out how to put together 300 boxes. I read a storm in my house and had to bring them all at the same time. So when you leave here today, everyone can take a few boxes, just put them together, bring them back with you on November 5th, and it's going to be a good time. It'll be immediately following church. I'll try and get here if you guys are probably not going to be at the service that day, Tom, or maybe I will. I might have to get here super early, but I'm going to try and spread everything, because right now it's just all together. Boys, girls, everything. I know we had 2 separate toasts, but I'm not very good at organizing, so when I took them out of the toast, I just threw everything in boxes. So I'm trying to organize that as best as I can, but thank you for giving. Even today, like I saw the Ben Patrick Spring stuff and from Amazon, people are still good. Harry's mom ordered 100 coloring books and boxes of crayons the other day. Like, it's just amazing what y'all have done, and I just want to say
Well, thank you for your leadership, Webb. And I believe that we will be a whole lot closer to 300 even if we don't hit it. That old saying, it's better to aim at the moon and strike an eagle than aim at the eagle and strike a rock. So we're going to have a great time together. And it is a real blessing what that ministry does and that we can be a part of it. Any other announcements? All right, let's move to prayer requests. Any particular prayer requests that you would like to lift up? One that I want to keep in prayer. We've been keeping Dick Kinley, the fifth one down in our prayers. That's Sue Rossiter's brother-in-law. And she flew down to be with them and help them as they're having some difficulty. So keep Sue and her family in prayer. Any others? Webb.
I've got a couple. Today, today would have been Kyle's 21st birthday. Oh. And tomorrow marks 6 months that she's been gone. So if we could keep Kendra and Mark and the family in our prayers. Tomorrow also marks 5 years that Donnie's been gone. So if we could keep Carrie and Donnie in our prayers.
5 years since Don?
Don.
Oh, okay. Oh my goodness. Time does fly. So we want to lift up all of the Atkins family. Today would have been Kaya's 21st birthday, and it was 6 months ago that she passed. And I want to keep her mom, Kendra, and Mark in our prayers. And also, 5 years ago, Donnie, Carrie's dad, passed. So let's just keep the entire family. As we all know, grief has a way of stacking on top of each other. So we'll just be keeping all of you in prayer. Any others? Yes.
Care?
Laura Drinker. She's had two or three surgeries, hasn't she?
Yep.
So let's keep Laura in our prayers.
Long-term care at Virginia Baptist.
Okay. She's long-term care at Virginia Baptist. Let's keep Laura Drinker in prayer. Thank you. Yes, Judy.
A praise. I just realized it was 5 years ago I was diagnosed with cancer, and I'm 5 years cancer-free.
Praise God.
I get my 5-year mark.
All right. So Judy Kinzer is 5 years cancer-free. Praise God. And 5 years from now, we'll give a praise for 10 years cancer-free. All right. Praise God for that. Any other? Yes. I said Sarah.
Please keep the Chase family.
Chase?
Yes. I asked for a robocall. It was my childhood friends.
Oh, last week?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's keep... Lost.
It's very difficult. Memorial service was Friday the 13th.
Okay. Were you able to go to that?
I was not. It was in Maryland. I don't
know. Okay. Well, we'll keep the Chase family in our prayers and their loss of the newborn. Thank you. Glenn?
Let me ask prayer, please, for my beautiful wife. She's got two or three health issues. Very serious.
We'll definitely continue to keep you in prayer, Ruth. You're in the center of our prayer and love, both of you. Amen. Yes, Agnes.
Barbara Brown.
Barbara Brown, okay. Any others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We just thank you that we're awakened today. We really should only have one rule for our happiness, and that is that we wake up and find, as the psalmist did, your mercies new and fresh every morning. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your fresh and always present love and compassion and support. We thank you that our relationship with you is not just one of memory and of history, but it's one of vibrancy, a dynamic relationship with the God of the universe who loved us and sent his son for us. And we thank you for that. That gives us, as that old hymn would sing, Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And because we have this dynamic relationship with the living Savior, who's the Lord, sovereign God of all, we can, in the midst of joy and adversity, we can sing and have joy. And we have both this morning. We thank you for your presence in the Atkins family as they've had these recent losses and just the accumulation of loss. And we just pray that you'll draw close and comfort. I pray in particular you'll draw close to Kendra and to Mark. And then with remembering Donnie, we just pray that you'll draw close to Carrie and to Darby and to Kim and Ned and all the family. I just pray that you'll lift them up. Remind them that these that we have had to bury are not gone. They're not lost, but they are in your presence. And we long and look forward to that time when we all will see you face to face. And the church that seems to be divided among the living and the dead now will all be one for all eternity. And that is our hope, and may that be their strength. We pray that you'd be with Laura Drinkard and just give her not only physical strengthening, but be with her emotionally as things have gone not as they have hoped with recent surgery. So just bless her and her family. We pray that you'd be with Dick. We pray that you would be with Ruth and with Glenn. We pray that you'd be with Barbara Brown. We pray that you would be with those that just need your touch. We pray that you would be with the Chase family and just their loss and strengthen them. We give you thanks and joy that Judy has celebrated this milestone of being 5 years without cancer. We know that every good gift comes from you. So we give you all the praise and the glory. And we ask that that dynamic presence of Christ would be with the situation or the person that comes to our mind at this time. We thank you and we love you. And above all things, we trust you because you've pledged your love to us in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of our salvation.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If you'll look with me, we'll use a very familiar and wonderful psalm to call each to worship, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 81, He Leadeth Me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters.
He revives my soul, and guides me along right paths for his name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Thou prepare, you spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Aged wine well defined. And he will speak. follow up on this now in the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. Without you, in our weakness, we will surely fail. Therefore, keeping us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has taught us to pray together boldly, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Reading is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen of me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all these things through him who strengthens me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This will be the third time that we've given a community service award. And we always do it at the time of offering, as we give an offering unto the Lord. So our service horizontally to others is not so much at all to earn brownie points with the Lord. We don't work on a merit system. His grace is free and freely given, but out of love for others. And because others have needs, we serve the other outside of this congregation and within the congregation. So on the Laity Sunday, we give away an award that we named in honor of one who exemplifies this. And so in our congregation, it's called the Carolyn Ashwell Community Service Award, and it's presented by the board. And I would ask our board chair to come forward. He'll present the award after I give a short bio. Growing up, you had childhood heroes, didn't you? Did you have heroes when you were young? Well, growing up, I really admired my dad, and I hung around with him a lot. And my dad had a lot of friends, but one in particular I just really liked. His name was Charlie Kurtz. He ran an organization, and Charlie was smaller of stature, but extremely incredible man, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
He had a quiet dignity and a strong work ethic, and he was a decent man. I would never have guessed that about 35, 45 years later, his younger brother would sort of be my boss. And you're not going to like me very much, or the board, or anyone else, but the Community Service Award this year goes to Kelly Kurtz.
Amen.
Kelly's been our board chair for 6 years. He's been the Beacon board chair for multiple decades and is now director emeritus. He's been a diligent supporter of Parkview Community Ministries. He's done everything from carpentry to food distribution. In fact, it's where Barbara grew up. Were you married in that church?
Yes.
That's where they were married. But he's also helped individually. He's helped repair people's homes. He's worked with his hands. He's worked with his organizationally. And the attributes that I see that I'd like to honor is a great balance. As Jesus said, we're to give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, there are a lot of people that speak Christianly. But as Francis Assisi pointed out, it's far more important to act Christianly and to have a quiet faith that you know and you hold to deeply and you express it effectively to others. And I think that we're blessed to have one who has a servant's heart and a CEO's mind and a true commitment to Jesus Christ. So Webb Griffin, as vice chair of the board, because I think it would be embarrassing if Kelly presented it to himself, would you come forward and present this?
No one more deserving, brother.
Thank you. And there will be a reception afterwards in the narthex with a little bit of cake and an opportunity for you to say any thoughts that you would like to say about Kelly. But we're just glad to have him in our congregation. And you know, the scripture says to give honor to where honor is due. And it's a wonderful thing that we not only have given these awards, but we've embarrassed the person each time we've done it. That's proof positive that they deserve it. If you ever give an award and they aren't embarrassed by it, you probably misdirected. It's like giving an award for being humble and the person wears the badge. You know, it just doesn't work, but Kelly's well-deserving. I'm very blessed because after we hear the reading of the gospel, I get to sit and listen to a sermon, and I look forward to what Al will share. Al has been a brother in Christ, a colleague of ministry, and a deeply respected person that I have, and I'm looking forward to the word that he will have for us. So that'll be after the reading of the gospel. So I'd ask you to stand in honor of hearing the gospel.
Gospel reading today is Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And again Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Greetings in the name of Jesus the Christ. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. Amen. Before I get into the message, I want to stop and say thank you. I want to thank the Well and all of its people for your support for Vine and Branches Ministries. Every month at Lunenburg, I celebrate Holy Communion on the second Wednesday of each month, and you provide the funds that provide the feast. And I got to tell you, I've been in a lot of churches where, you know, Communion Sunday was seen as a chore. Oh man, it's going to go forever today because we're going to have to stop and wait for everybody to get some juice eat a piece of wafer. Man, we're going to miss the buffet at Golden Corral. But these guys, I'm going to tell you, today's Sunday, tomorrow's Monday. When I show up there tomorrow morning, they just had communion last Wednesday. But the first guy I see of the Protestant group is going to come to me and say, "Chaplain, where are we having communion again?" It just, it's amazing to see. It's like being here. It's the same act of joy and fulfillment and being at one with each other. And it, and I thank you for making that possible. Other things you've made possible through your ministry, we baptized 9 men month before last. We part of my job is, I'm considered the pastor of the Protestant group, but I'm the chaplain for everybody else. And one of those duties is the first Wednesday of each month, I watch over the Native American pipe ceremony. Tobacco in the Department of Corrections is just as well guarded as if I was bringing in heroin. I have to watch and make sure and portion out and ration out the tobacco as it's being used while the chief of the group performs the ritual. And it's a funny thing how God works. I just stand there and pass tobacco. But as they go around the circle, one guy at a time comes up. And he'll ask, "What's grace about? What does it mean to be baptized? How do I know that your God is real?" And you know, I'm kind of precluded from preaching to them, but I'm allowed to answer any question they ask. And the Holy Spirit, it moves. One of the scariest groups in the prison for all chaplains is the Nation of Islam. It was formed by Minister Farrakhan. So you can sort of get an idea why a lot of us are a little uneasy. But at that group, just this past Friday, a guy whose name really is Muhammad came in to set up and came in early, and he came up to me and he said, "Chaplain, I want you to see my Bible." And he had a King James Version Bible. I didn't ask him to show it to the group after they showed up, but there's an undercurrent of Christianity within the prison. And it's just great to watch God work, even though sometimes I feel I'm having to wear handcuffs about what I can do. But he keeps bringing up opportunities for me and for other Christians who happen to be incarcerated to show forth God's work. You can put handcuffs on people. You can't control the Holy Spirit. And you can't limit God. And we're going to look at that today. The appointed lections today work together to reveal to us the absolute perfection of God's plan for our adoption and redemption. The first lesson from Isaiah presents us with a promise. God will prepare for all peoples a feast. We're going to have Holy Communion a little later, and that definitely would qualify as at least one image of the feast that God is preparing for us. And it will have in it nothing but the best of the best, fine wine, rich food, and that's just the beginning. Ultimately, God will remove from all mankind the stain of sin and the cloud of shame that causes us to shy away from his presence. rather than run to his embrace. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast. Receive. God does not look at us as being lacking and wanting. He does not see us at our worst and put that up as our identity picture. He sees us as the adopted sons bought for him with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the wedding feast parable, for a long time, has given me a lot of heartburn. Because I got to tell you, the first time I encountered that parable, it was in church. But it was on a Sunday afternoon because of something that happened Sunday morning. Sunday morning, in those days, you went to church in a coat and tie. And I was only 12 years old, but I was there in my coat and tie. And so were my two cohorts, Terry and Ed. And somehow between the three of us, we got this idea that when Sunday school was over, we were taking the ties off. And we went in to Sunday morning service open collared. Things did not go well. Following the service, the three of us went to the pastor's study with the board of elders and the board of deacons and our parents. And this is the scripture they gave us. But here's the good news. The one who was thrown out, he wasn't thrown out because his clothes weren't good enough. He wasn't thrown out because he'd gone in with an open collar. But he did miss something a lot more important. It was the king that threw him out. And like today, for us, there is only one thing we have to wear when we come into the king's presence. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I hand out communion to guys, I don't know everybody's record. I don't know why everybody's there. But those who have come to me for counseling and have shared, I know what they did, and I know why they're there. And if it wasn't for my profound understanding and acceptance that I am just like them, because the only thing that makes me worthy to give this is the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only thing that makes them worthy of receiving it is the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're equal. One of the assistant worship leader for the Protestant group is a man that 3 years ago I did the rite of reconciliation with at Green Rock. And for most of the world, rite of reconciliation is confession. And he emptied himself out all the way. And it was not a pretty picture. But he's a redeemed child of a redeeming God now. And giving him communion and telling him that he is my brother and that we are one in Christ, I hope it means as much to him as it does to me, because it reminds me. I ain't going to go up there and tell God about all the good things I've done, because it ain't going to matter. And it's probably could maybe mess up the whole situation. I'm going to have to go before him as a repentant, awful, worthy of all contempt sinner, except for the blood of Jesus Christ. Fortunately, it won't be because I didn't wear a tie to church. Yeah, the necktie, I still call that my story, the necktie conspiracy. The wedding promise is the joining of two to become one. And his rejected guest fashion faux pas was not his clothing, but the lack of spiritual covering. He was invited to the kingdom feast, but was not covered in the clothing of the Christ. See, we've all been taught that we are to be righteous, walk with the right people, do lots of good works, and be in the right company, the powerful, the influential, and the socially preferred. And there's nothing inherently wrong with any of these, but yet all are insufficient for entry into the kingdom of God and the celebration of the Lamb of God's coronation. Only the blood of the Lamb will be approved. Jesus Christ bought our admission into his inner court, and he will not accept any of our paltry substitutions. The second lesson from Philippians gives us the recipe for how to accept. How do we go about living this life in a broken world, separated from God, without losing hope, without getting discouraged? Well, there is a way. Philippians chapter 4, and particularly starting at verse, I had it marked here, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, make your request known to God with supplication and with thanksgiving. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then at verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. In my daily routine, I get a total of 3 hours on the road, an hour and a half there and an hour and a half back on each trip. And I have an enemy. He's referred to in the next lesson in Psalm 23. And he uses that time. He'll introduce thoughts about how overwhelming the workload is going to be on that particular morning. Every morning he starts off with that one. And then he'll remind me of the harsh word I got from one of the correction officers 2 months ago. And then he'll remind me about something that I forgot to do that I promised somebody I would do. And he starts piling up the guilt. And my answer so far, the only one that's worked, as I start just going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then things start coming to me. The story of somebody who came to me and said, I get it now. Or, thank you for communion last night. Or, chaplain, I just got a letter from home. My mom's going to be well. And these things remind me. Don't listen to the liar. And you know, 2 days ago, Friday the 13th, that's one of his masterpieces. I'm sure there's not but like two people in this room who did not have somebody say something to them about, well, you know, it's Friday the 13th, you better be careful. Or it's Friday the 13th. You know what that means. And we had extra help this Friday, past Friday, because there was a guy on the other side of the world calling for a Friday to be a day of hate and rage and pain and some kind of a jihad to just sort of put icing on our enemy's cake. But here, you know, when you ask somebody, what's the origin of that superstition? They'll give you an answer and it's not even correct. They'll say, well, it was a Friday. Jesus was at dinner with 12 other men. So there were 13 men at dinner on a Friday. And the guest of honor got killed. Jesus didn't die on, he didn't have dinner on Friday. He was crucified on Friday. But the dinner was on Thursday. So the 13 had already run off before Friday got there. But our enemy is the father of lies, so he doesn't really have to worry about facts. And the big lie is, so what? That's not the end of the story. Good Friday was not the defeat of God and his son, Jesus Christ. It was a temporary setback because when Sunday came, our enemy found out what it is to lose. Death was conquered. The number one weapon in his arsenal to keep us under his thumb no longer had any control over us because we had the promise. If you're in the blood, you're in me. And if you're in me, you're in the kingdom. And this kingdom does not end with your death. It's just the beginning. It's your graduation party. It's your welcoming home. Psalm 23. So familiar. And I've heard it preached on here before by Dave Gardner. And Dave, I didn't pick this so I could try to, you know, be as good as you were. This lection comes up every 3 years anyway. But recently, in the last year, and I alluded to it a little bit, I've been fighting anxiety and depression. And I happened to pick up a book called Don't Give the Enemy a Place at Your Table by a pastor named Louis Giglio. And it's on the 23rd Psalm. And I almost wasn't even going to reference that, except I did a reread 2 weeks ago after I looked at the lections. And not only does he talk about Psalm 23, his recipe for how to live into it is the lesson from Philippians. So I'm going, he got two out of our lections into one book at the same time. This is a sign. And even if it ain't a sign, I'm still using it. Whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent, think on these things. See, the enemy comes to says, it tells us, God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Doesn't say they're invited guests. God's making a statement to our enemy. They're mine. He's mine. She's mine. She's mine. He's mine. It's a declaration of hands off. They're mine. They witness God giving us a feast. They witness us accepting it and acknowledging, you've anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for 30 minutes. Till next Tuesday. Forever. Forever. The title of Mr. Giglio's book says it all. Do not give the enemy a seat at your table. Your table was prepared for you by God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the enemy can watch. He can get frustrated. He can cry. He can have a tantrum. He can do whatever it is he wants to do. But he's not to be a guest. Reject him. Think about what is pure, what is good, what is admirable, and anything at all that comes to mind that's excellent. In his holy and blessed name, amen. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith, brothers and sisters, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
If you join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We lift our hearts to you with thanks and praise, Almighty God, for nothing is impossible with you. You brought the universe to life and called the people to be your own. In Jesus, you came and laid bare your purpose for us and for all creation. In Him, you parted with all your possessions, came close to the poor, and lived humbly with us. He is our great high priest who has passed through the heavens. He sympathizes with our weaknesses and was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Because of His dying and rising, we approach your throne with boldness, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. And so, with the whole host of heaven, we join in singing your eternal song.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Reconciling God, in baptism you ask us to let go of family, friends, and all security. But from you we receive back a hundredfold in brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and in the age to come, eternal life. As your church offers this food to you, you give us back your glory and your wisdom and your Son. Send now your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper took with his disciples, took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, and again he gave you thanks, and blessed it, and distributed it to them, saying, Take, drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Christ is the mystery of faith. Grave is the mystery of faith. Christ is died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Living and active God, your word divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. Speak your truth into the lives of all who plead for your saving power today. Hear the cries of those whose complaint is bitter. Comfort any whose voices are weighed down with groaning. Bless your children when they wish they could vanish, and when they long for thick darkness to cover them. When our salvation seems as impossible as a camel passing through the eye of a needle, come among us with the joy and power of your Son's resurrection, and astound us with your grace. Until that day when every eye shall see you, and every tongue shall tell how great is your mercy and how wondrous your glory. Holy Trinity of love. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, as Al mentioned the title of that book, and a great truth it is, Don't Invite the Enemy to Your Table. It struck me that while that is absolutely true, the reverse is also true. That while we were yet enemies in our sins, Christ died for us. And he has invited us to come to his table as those who had sinned against him and were worthy of his eternal punishment. He tasted that punishment so that he could offer us his eternal life. He became the Passover lamb so he could invite us to his table. So we come as children, grateful for his eternal mercy. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come to this table. This is the Lord's table. It's not this church's table. It's Christ's table. And he invites you all to come. I invite you to come to receive the very body and blood of Christ. Afterwards, there will be prayer people, prayer warriors. If you want to pray with someone to join with you in your prayer, I would invite you to do that. There are also cards up here. Maybe someone came to mind that you would like to send a card to saying that you lifted them up during communion. What a blessing it would be for them to receive a card, but more importantly, what a blessing it would be for you to lift them up in prayer. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
We thank you, our Father, for inviting us to your table. We thank you that at that table we receive eternal food, the living water, manna from heaven, the forgiveness of our sins, the healing of our infirmities, the comforting of our struggles, the guidance in our confusion, the peace in our chaos, and above all things, the living Son of God, the Savior and head of the church, and the one through his Spirit is safely leading us home in peace and joy, in perpetual mercy. You've given us so much. We rejoice in your presence and pray through your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing the final hymn together. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Be to God.